One of the justifications for human cloning is to reproduce someone of astonishing ability or talent, to give the world another Shakespeare, Mozart, or Einstein. But how about cloning a person who is far from being a genius, an ordinary guy like me with a somewhat undistinguished academic record at school, an individual who proves that scientists who do supposedly extraordinary things are far from being extraordinary? After all, if you prick me, do I not bleed? If you tickle me, do I not laugh? Of course I do. In the years since my colleagues and I succeeded in cloning a cow, I have been asked many times whether I would ever consider making a clone of myself. There is, after all, a long and honorable history of medical scientists who have tested their ideas on the most curious of experimental subjects, themselves. Since the earliest days of medicine, researchers have swallowed bacteria, injected vaccines, and even performed surgery on themselves. Usually, researchers double as subjects to make their experiments both practical and ethical. But not in the case of cloning. Whenever I have been asked whether I would experiment on myself, I have had to explain how, even if the many technical obstacles could be overcome, and a mini-me could be born without risk, the answer would be the same. No, I have no intention of cloning myself. One me is quite enough. If my clone were produced, living in my shadow would be very difficult for him to stand. Imagine, when he became a teenager, what he would make of being told that he was a genetic copy of a parent. Imagine what it would be like to know that you are the product of a scientific experiment. But more than this, imagine living under the burden of feeling that, both medically and psychologically, the future was no longer open, that your life would follow the same course as your father's. My little identical twin would be an individual, a person in his own right, but he would have to bear the heavy burden of growing up feeling like my copy. He would watch each serious illness that struck me with fear, wondering whether it was his destiny to suffer in the same way. The psychological and social impacts of cloning have been explored by Stephen Levick, a psychiatrist. Cloned children would have confusing and unusual relationships with their relatives. The clone would be the identical twin of the donor, who could also be his parent. Levick says that any parent motivated to clone himself or herself is bound to feel let down by the results. The narcissist is always disappointed in his or her children and their failure to live up to perfection. They would surely feel entitled to expect a clone to be just like them or their ideal. Many people already have to struggle under the burden of unrealistic parental expectations. For a cloned child, the pressure could be extreme. Even though parents know from their own experience that nurture is as important as nature. There are also good scientific reasons why clones will never be copies. Genes are not as powerful as many people think. A clone may have identical genes to those of a donor, but that is not enough to ensure that he develops the same way. The influence of genes is modified significantly by that of the environment. Genes are in constant dialogue with their surroundings. They are in dialogue with the rest of the cell in which they reside, which is in dialogue with other cells in the body, which in turn is in dialogue with the world at large, through education and experience. This nested dialogue shapes the development of a fertilized egg into brains or muscles. Just as one can never really live a moment again, this dialogue can never be exactly reproduced. The personality of a clone will be unique.